so much better. All right, guys, I am here with Andre Ander on, and how do you say your last name?
It's not important. Just call
I know,
me.
But I just wanted to just try it for myself.
Derevanesyan.
What?
Exactly. It's a long-ass Armenian name that nobody can fucking say.
No, and I realized that's why I never say your last name, but I was like, I want to try it, and I was actually trying to pronounce it before I first called you. And I was like, Derevanesyan.
It's actually phonetic, which means like it's said exactly how it's spelled, but you know.
So you're calling me stupid and you're telling me that I can't read.
I mean, if the shoe fits.
No, guys, we're so excited to have Andre back. There's a lot to chit chat about. And before we get into everything, I just want to preface this with I'm aware of everything that's happening and, you know, it does make me really sad and I'd like to do what I can, you know, and contribute. But this podcast is about keeping it light and funny. And we're here to entertain. And so I hope this is a nice escape for everyone. Yeah. So, you know what I realized that I've never discussed? I actually discovered this a few weeks ago and I forgot to say it. Did you know Amanda Bynes is not pregnant?
I didn't even know that she was pregnant. Unless it was with a new face tattoo.
No, remember? This was like a few months ago and there like was this an ultrasound that came out. And she was like, oh, I'm pregnant. And then it was like this big thing. And then she went to treatment.
Oh my God, she's such a mess.
I know, but I love it.
I mean, that face, like, what has she done to herself?
It's okay. Did you see the one that she posted a few days ago saying she got out of treatment?
I mean, I saw it on your page.
Oh my, her face looks fucking crazy. And then, yeah, she's like, I've been in treatment for the past 2 months. I'm like, what?
It's not the face tattoos, because look, I don't have any tattoos, and I'm not trying to be, there's no judgment about tattoos. But she's really like filled up her face or done something that has really distorted it. And she's got to be still in her 20s, right? Or at least like around 30?
No, I think she's like 34 or 35.
Oh, okay.
Still well, young gal. Still a spry young gal.
I mean, she's older than you, but you know.
Younger than you.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. I actually don't even know how old you are. No, so I saw that. And then, yeah, she said she was out of treatment and like, that she was working on herself and then she's back at Fitum and then I don't know what's happening. But she's not pregnant is the point.
I think when these certain stars get to like a certain place, you just like actually like stop. You almost like can't laugh at it anymore and you just really want them to get their shit together. Like in the very beginning, it was really like fun. And I think like with Britney right now, it's kind of fun because she seems to be contained and like medicated. And so like, because she's in her own contained box, like, it's kind of fun. And she seems to be happy to a certain extent. With Amanda, it's like a cry for help. The background in every photo is like, it's chaotic and dire. Like the bedroom that she, like it's.
The bedroom is dire.
It's scary. It's, I mean, it's institutional. And I don't know where she actually is, but I'm guessing it's some sort of institutional place. And if it's not, then she needs gaze immediately to go in there because it's frightening.
No, the dressers, they're from a yard sale off of, you know, somewhere deep in the valley, and it's not great. None of it's great. It doesn't make you feel
deep
good.
Deep in the valley.
Deep. Like, this is like a garage sale in Silmar.
Yeah, this is like scary. It's frightening. Poor Amanda.
I know. And but I don't know that you're like, oh, but Britney's happy. I don't know that she's happy. I feel like that's forced happiness, but I am. She gave us a few treats.
She seems happy in the way that a properly medicated yet very, very sick person is happy.
Okay.
Like, right now, she's happy. I mean, that man is smoking. So
attracted to him,
helping to regulate her mood, then like nothing else will.
Wait, you're attracted to him? I'm so unattracted to him.
I would never have sex with him, but he's I mean, like, that's not my type of guy.
But you can like recognize that he's like a,
yeah, and he seems like a nice guy. I mean, there's always something weird to me. Like, there's always been something weird to me about like a man who seems to be well adjusted dating somebody who's like clearly a little off. Right, like
clearly almost completely off.
Yeah, but she's in a much better, I mean, look, you put her today side by side from where she was like years ago and like this is okay. It's still not like 98 Britney, you know. She'll never be Oops I Did It Again Britney.
No, we'll never get it back. I've just accepted that. But that's a good transition. Speaking of Britney, so the Britney Gaga songs and stuff yesterday. What do you like, Chromatica?
Well, you know, you're one of the people that teaches me like to let something wash over you, and because I will tell you like I hate something, and then I will. I really, really love "Stupid Love" and "Rain on Me." I'm really into those tracks, and so I'm really giving it a shot. I would say overall, yes, I do like it. I think there's some gay bops on there for sure. Okay. I like that Sour Candy song that she released right before the full album came out.
That's my number one so far. And then the rest of it.
Because you love like a good like lo-fi Europop like banger. Yeah, and that's like, totally one of those.
It has that, yeah, that like vibe where the other ones are a little bit too 80s, like flowy, not sharp. And there are some other ones though that I like. I think overall too, people just expect me to be like a hater because I'm not like the biggest Gaga fan. I actually do think it's a pretty good album, but it's not like this masterpiece that everyone's saying.
Well, if you really look at her career, she's never really had an album that the critics have like been blown away by. They've always been pretty critical of her. I think Born This Way is by far my favorite album of hers. I think she was like at the top of her game when she recorded that because the Fame Monster was such a huge success, and the way that she introed Born This Way and that whole era was so huge. And then she took a detour with art pop, and she kind of jumped the shark, I think, for a little bit. But I love anything that panders to the gays this way, like music or art that like panders to like our like pop, you know, all of our sensibilities of like just like letting loose, having fun, listening to good music. And like, it's a good summer album, I think, overall.
I think that's where I struggle. And like, that's actually why I didn't like that new Ali and AJ song, because they went like mainstream gay. It's just a little bit, it's not sharp for me. It's bouncy and it's overall appeasing. Like, I can recognize that, but like, I don't know. I think that's what I don't like about it.
Yeah. I mean, I think right now, like it's the world so bleak that like I can hold on to this little thing and I'll give it like a little bit more leeway than I might've before.
That's what I think too.
I
think that everyone's just like craving something, and like, so that our expectations are maybe lower. And so they're all just kind of like, this is incredible.
Yeah. Like that new track that Rihanna sings on that everyone is like really into. And I think it's not a good song, but it's like, at least we get like a little tiny something from Riri.
Yeah. It's a terrible song, but I'm like, honestly, I just want to hear baby girl's voice.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that's kind of where I'm at with Gaga. It's like, I need something. And I really do think like Stupid Love and Rain on Me are great tracks. I know you didn't love Rain on Me because you don't like, quote unquote, don't love collaborations.
That I don't.
Okay.
They some of them don't make sense, and they put people together like don't make sense together. That's the thing.
I don't think she needed Ari on that song. I think she could have done that song on her own. I don't think she needed Ari on it.
I agree. And like, something about her, I feel like I'm still in that mode of like, I want a break from Ariana because she came at us so strong through like 2018. And I still like kind of want my break from her. Do you know what I mean? She just like, it was too much.
Yeah, she's done what Rihanna did for years, which is just like put out one album after another, not like almost no break there. And I think she might need to just take a break.
That's what I thought she was doing. And then here she is. And I'm like, I want you back. Stay under your rock. I want a break. I want a break. Okay. Moving on. I don't know why this like thrilled me, but like the whole stuff about Kylie and Forbes yesterday.
Wait, saw it. Give us a review.
Okay. So basically Forbes came out and they're like, yo, Kylie lied. She's not a billionaire. She falsified documents and her tax returns and things like that, even though their team and Chris had invited Forbes over to their offices and said like, we want to present to you like she is a billionaire. So apparently they're saying that she falsified all of that and she's not a billionaire.
Oh my God. Can you imagine the Kardashians presenting themselves in a light to look better and get more news?
I truly can't imagine.
I cannot look away from these people. I'm so endlessly fascinated. I cannot look away. I can't look away.
No, it thrilled me. Like, I don't know why, just seeing that headline again, I get TMZ alerts. So I think it was like the first one I got that morning, followed by some like mega depressing ones. And so that one I was like, whoa. And yeah. And did you see that Kylie tweeted about it?
What'd she say?
I did. She's like, why am I waking into this? There's so much going on in the world. And she's like, I'll just tell you this. I'm okay. My daughter will be okay. And everything's fine.
I mean, I actually think that's like a great response.
Me too. No, I don't know why I did it in that voice, but I thought it was great.
No, I mean, look, I fucking respect the shit out of Kris Jenner's hustle. And like, if she, you know, have we all, you know, fudged some records before? Of course we have. I mean, I know you.
I falsified a few things.
Oh, God.
You know who else falsified a few things? Lori Loughlin.
Oh, Lori. Oh, Aunt Becky.
Aunt Becky, did you see that? She got a People magazine cover this week for pleading guilty. I was like, good for you, first of all. But like, here's the thing about her pleading guilty is that for the longest time, she was like, I didn't do it. I didn't do it. I didn't do it. And then finally, she was just like, yeah, I did it. And it's like,
I think she knew that there's no fucking chance she was getting off on this one, and her best chance is to plead guilty and get some sort of like deal out of it.
I agree, and like I think that's why she should have done it beforehand. I'm sure she got scared and whatever, but I think just as far as like what her public image is, like the fact that Felicity took ownership of it, we're like, okay, we'll forgive her. But the fact that like she was adamantly denying this throughout the entire thing and then being like, never mind, I might have done it, it's like that makes you look so much worse.
Yeah, I mean, when you really like dig into that family and like they're just like gross privilege. So I say fry Aunt Becky. You know what I say to Aunt Becky? Cut it out.
Fry Aunt Becky. I don't know. I still have a soft spot for her because she's Aunt Becky, but then the other part of me thinks she's a fucking monster.
Yeah. I still hate Candace Cameron more. So.
Oh, I hate Candace Cameron. Do you hate her from her days in The View?
I hate her from her days in The View. Yeah, I just hate her. Like, she represents everything I hate.
Me too. And I knew, like, that's who she was at the time. But then I remember seeing her on The View, and I was like, I fucking hate her.
Yeah, and her brother, too. Although I will say Kris Cameron was, like, a huge crush when I was a little kid.
Oh, he's gorgeous. But he's actually worse than she is.
Oh, my gosh. Forget it.
Do you watch The View?
I watch like the clips when they like fight with each other and that actually gets posted. I'll watch that.
Same. Do you watch Wendy Williams?
I don't. I have a complicated relationship with her. Again, she's fantastic for like, she is like the best fodder for memes and clips. So I support her, but she's problematic.
Very, but I like I said, I actually really don't watch these either, especially because I don't watch like daytime TV, but I go in for clips. Go check out a few recent clips of Wendy. This is for everybody. Go check out a few recent clips of Wendy Williams when she was doing her Wendy from Home before she like just said she's pausing for a bit. And it is incredible. She's literally at some point like eating Doritos while like cutting a souffle. It's incredible.
She's a cartoon.
Totally.
And for her to, by the way, this is like interesting because that you bring her up, because I've been thinking about her because she's actually been a topic on Real Housewives of Atlanta this season, because Nene called her on air, and then, you know, Nene was trying to portray it like they're friends, and then Wendy like fully sounded off on her and said like, you're an over there person, like we are not friends, like you are just like someone in the media that I talk to because it's part of my job. So.
Dove back in for the reunion, and I saw, yeah.
Yeah. No, are you even going to want to talk about Atlanta, or are you just kind of like...
Let's touch on it for a second. I feel like what I like, too, is that a lot of times what I've noticed that when I fall off a show, I at least go back for the reunion, because it kind of gives you all you need. The Atlanta reunion, the Zoom reunion, I was loving it.
I thought it was fantastic, and the way that they cut it where they had the women just like talking over each other and Andy was able to just mute anyone when he wanted to.
My honestly favorite part is, wait, what'd you say? Mayday, mayday, nay, nay, down.
Portia came through in this reunion. She was so good.
So good.
She was so good. I was waiting for her to turn on Kenya, because you know there is no housewife on TV that I hate more than Kenya.
I know, and I told you I like Kenya.
Well, I want her on the show.
Yeah,
I'm good with her on the show. I cannot stand Kenya. I think she is the worst example of everything. Like, she's everything I hate in the housewife. She doesn't ever take responsibility. She is so insecure, desperate, and she's conniving behind the scenes clearly, like, and she treats people terrible. Like, I just can't stand her. And I don't, but she does, she can read a bitch. When, like, she said to Nene a couple weeks ago, she said, you look like a white drag queen. I don't know if I'm watching the Real Housewives reunion or White Chicks. I mean, and it was good.
No, she's really quick, and she does. She almost, like, she's able to, like, listen, sometimes she has gone too low with the low of lows, but she kind of goes, like, right there, right on the border where you're like, that was incredible, but it wasn't terrible. Like, the White Chicks things, I didn't think that was too far.
No. Nothing's too far. There's no such thing.
She has gone too far. She has.
She is a monster. My biggest thing is just somebody who never apologizes, which is why, like, Ramona, I always forgive her, even though she's a monster, because she apologizes. And I even kind of started to forgive Vicky the last season of the OC, because she was kind of doing an apology tour, and then she always takes it back. So I'm out on Vicky. But Kenya, she apologized. The first time I've ever seen her apologize was this season. She apologized to Portia for the way she had treated her. But by the end of the season, like, I'm out. It's going to be interesting to see what they do next season, because Nene just, I mean, if you can't bring Nene back after the way that she acted at that reunion, she just leaves.
But that, I didn't think they could bring her back after last year, after, like, ripping the producer shirt off and, like, breaking his teeth. And, like, so, yeah, I think whatever the reason they give her a pass, if this was anybody else, they'd be like, no, but part of me could see her, see them bringing her back.
Yeah, I don't know. They already announced, which I don't know if I believe, you know, I tend to try
the Yovana thing.
Yovana is going to be back as a quote unquote official cast member.
No, I don't believe that. She's off. I do not want to see her.
I mean, I think that technically they didn't say she's going to be holding a peach. I mean, Marlo and Tanya are cast members.
True. You're right. They're official cast members.
They get their picture on the website under cast, but I don't think I don't know that Yovana can have enough to give us a full, like, character, a full peach.
Yovana from Clark. No, I don't want her. I really, I know that bitch from Clark, but it's so try hard. It's almost like, remember Apollo's girlfriend that had, like, surfaced a season or two ago? It feels like that energy where you're like, come on.
It's very desperate.
It's very desperate.
And I didn't, and I don't even care if she did or didn't record anyone. There's just such an air of desperation the way that she's kind of turned on Nene. And I don't know that I find it interesting. For me, I mean, to me, it's the Portia and the Candy show, and, like, Kenya is fine. We do not need Cynthia back.
We don't. Wait, and real quick about Yovana. Yovana feels like she has, like, narc energy. Do you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, because that's what she did. That was
Wait, so you want Candy? I want Candy back. I want Candy, Kenya, Portia, Marlo to hold that fucking peach.
I know, but then they have to bring back Nene, because I don't know if Marlo works without Nene, but I love Marlo. I love her. Yeah. And now that she's a mom-ty, like, I just love her.
I think, like, honestly, if Cynthia, you bald-headed scallywag, doesn't get her a peach, I'm gonna fucking I say that to myself in the middle of my runs. I'm like, Cynthia, you bald-headed scallywag, and I get a real boost.
That's how, like, I just randomly constantly walking around my house going, Buka de Beppo.
Oh my God. Okay. We'll get to that, because I can't. You've seen it. I can't stop.
Cynthia and Eva, I could do without them. I don't need them.
Eva needs to. I could still tolerate Cynthia, because there's just, like, there's, like, a place for her. There is no place for Eva.
I think Cynthia's place is in a condo in the deep Northwest Valley. Like, that's, which is where she seems to be living with her Chahil.
Do you think they're in the deep Northwest Valley?
Okay. Well, they're in, like, some tract home, like, not in the city. Like, they are in the,
like, Reseda? Like,
suburbs. Like, Westlake. Like, way the fuck out there.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't find her that interesting. I don't. She's kind of a nerd. I prefer, if you're going to give me someone, like, more milquetoast, I prefer Tanya.
Milquetoast. I really came around on Tanya. Something about me, she's fun,
and her friendship with Portia is really cute.
It's like, because Portia loves Tanya, I love Tanya.
Portia is, she's one of my top three housewives, hands down.
And you, so I was a little bit turned off by how she, like, all of a sudden starts to kiss Nene's ass again. That bothers me a bit.
But it creates a good dynamic because no one else has Nini's back. And so, like, where you left the end of the reunion is, like, Tanya and Portia have Nini's back, and everyone and Marlo. So that's, like, those four kind of are on one team. And they've been photographed a lot on social media together at, like, each other's birthday parties or whatever.
I saw,
and
then, like, the other
group is on one side. So it actually is a good dynamic. I I loved at the end how Kenya's like, Cynthia, Eva, Candy, I love you. And, like, just totally left that Portia. And Candy, of all people, says, Portia, we love you too. Like, that was
big of her.
I mean, that was not only big of her, but that made me actually come around on Candy. I've always liked Candy. You can't really hate on Candy.
No,
you
know, yeah.
Hate on Todd and Mama Joyce.
And
Don Juan and Carmen, like, that whole team around her, I cannot stand
them. I don't need them. I don't want those scenes. I agree. I want Candy just integrated in the group. I think we kind of, like, strayed from when she originally came on because we thought that we had something with, like, her crew and her team. I don't want it.
I'm never, like, more titillated than when like, someone pisses Candy off. She's such a lion. Like, she's sweet, and she's rolling around in the grass. And then the second you piss her off, forget about it. There is nobody that can properly stand up to Portia. I mean, to Candy. Portia even tried it, and she lost.
I flashback sometimes to the scene, season 9. I think they're in Hawaii or whatever. And she's like, before I choke the shit out of this bitch. And she gets, and, like, right. She gets, like, she's the only one that actually gets, like, true thughood. Okay. And, like, I will fuck you up.
Exactly. At that pajama party when she went and like the most telling moment of all time was the reunion where Nini said, I see you. And Candy looked at her and said, we see each other. Uh-huh. Like, no, bitch. We are on the same level playing field, and you are not going to dominate me. There's nothing.
That gave me chills. Woo. That gave me chills. Woo.
So I don't know. I think Atlanta always kind of delivers. I know you're kind of in and out on it. I just think there's good, it's like New York, where there's really good comedy work happening at all times on that show.
Right. And do you know what I also am hearing rumblings about is that they're bringing Feifei. Like, I know we've kind of heard that every year, but, like, legitimate rumblings that she will be coming back as a friend.
I hear that. I will believe it when I see it. I could see. I was under the impression that Candy said she would not shoot the show if Phaedra was back. That was kind of the word on the street, to put it in words that Cynthia uses. Word on the street was,
or, like, Giselle from Potomac.
Oh, that's right. That's her fucking tagline.
Yeah, no, I think I could see that happening. And no, I'm actually excited to see what happens next. Like, where we go, where we cast.
Yeah. Hmm.
All right, I want to get into Buca de Beppo because I'm too excited about it. I am so, my mom, because I'm home visiting my parents, and, like, I keep saying these things, and she's like, what the freaking hell are you saying? She says it's just like that. Buca de Beppo. And then to my dog, I was like, my Buca de Beppo. And she's like, stop calling the dog that.
Do they have Buca de Beppo in Jersey?
Okay, so I didn't even realize that, like, it was more of a chain than I thought, because apparently there's a Buca de Beppo at the Grove.
Yeah.
I had no idea. So they might, and I don't even know this. Can we go to the one by the Grove?
Well, no. We're not going to the one by the Grove.
Well, no, that one and Encino.
We're going, because you know that I grew up in the Valley. Like, I'm born and raised Valley boy. And that Buca de Beppo is the Buca de Beppo that the one that Dorit is has a venture in is the one that I grew up going to. Well, I think it's only been around, like, 15 years or so, but, like, that's the one that I know.
It is the most delicious story. I've never, you know, we've had some important shit. I've never cared about a storyline more than Buca de Beppo.
I have to give a shout out to our mutual buddy, Kerry O'Donnell, because the slowdown meme that he made where Dorit says, Buca de Beppo. <It's incredible. laughs> Gave me so much happiness and joy. Like,
incredible. And then, like,
pictures
of the design. Yeah, of course. Yeah. I did. It's nothing that literally any other fucking Joe Schmo couldn't put together, and that's why I love it.
Oh, those, I mean, I want to smell those fake lemons, those plastic wax
lemons. You see the comparison? I think they did it. It was to one of LVP's restaurants, and it was, like, very similar with the lemons hanging.
I didn't, but
and well, speaking
it does kind of, I mean, it, there is a kind of vibe that, like, I would relate to, like, Pump, maybe.
Maybe. But no, it honestly gets me so excited. I think I had posted it one day because I genuinely said it to myself. I was like, rise and shine. We've got Buca de Beppos to decorate. And like, that's me every morning.
I mean, I'm really excited to see where we go from here. I really hope they show more of the process of Buca de Beppo. Like, is she gonna go to like Ross or Marshall's to buy those yellow like linens? I need to see what is happening.
Because they're nothing above a Target linen. We know that. She's like, is my budget unlimited? You know her budget was like, she's like, you have $5,000. She's like, and he told me like, my budget's practically unlimited. And I'm like, no, it's not.
I actually think the storyline is the perfect storyline for Dorit because the wealth and the like opulence is so surface level, paper thin. Like underneath that surface is con artist, debt, like money laundering.
Ponzi schemes.
There is such a filthy underbelly to PK and Dorit. And I actually feel for Dorit because I don't think that she's a con artist. I think she is so, well, first of all, I think she just loves to live like this lavish, quote unquote, lavish lifestyle.
Right.
And I think so like wants it that she is just fooled by PK. He is so smarmy. The makeup that he's wearing in those testimonials.
He looks like a vampire.
He looks so frightening. I mean, it's so scary. And she's got that Hamburglar dress.
It's incredible. That,
like Folsom Street Parade, like hat on. It is
You know how they like eventually switch and they get new confessionals? I'm like, I want her in that look the entire fucking season.
I will never be able to get that out of my
face. And their joint confessionals give me such a scheming energy, and it's pure cinema.
It really is. And the producers like lean into it, the way that they ask the questions. And I'm really loving the way that they're editing Beverly Hills this season to kind of break the fourth wall a lot.
Well, so, and that's really what it is. So speaking of the editing, like we're moving through time so quickly. And I remember we've spoken about this is that like during filming, nothing had happened in the beginning half and all this stuff. And so everyone thought like this would be shitty. Even, you know, we had heard from people, whatever. And they said it'd be shitty, but it's like the way they pieced, it really shows goes to show how important editing is, because the way they've pieced it together, like it's given us consistency and there's always something happening. And like, yeah, the only time it's been a bit of a hindrance is like with Garcelle and Kyle. I'm kind of like, wait, why does Garcelle like not like her so much? Where like we might have missed something because we moved through time so quickly. So maybe that's where it's a bit of a hindrance. But like other than that, we're gliding through and I'm loving it.
It seems like they just chucked like a couple months of footage.
They did.
Where they flashed back and they said like 2 months ago or 3 months ago. So, I mean, bravo. You know, like good for them.
No, they cut a lot of it. And I think what they did is they kind of gave us like, I cannot speak today, like a staple point from like maybe like once each month to kind of like check back in. But like we're going from like month to month to month. Do you know what I mean? Whereas New York will be like, oh, 2 weeks ago. And that was like a few episodes ago. I'm like, oh my God. And so I'm realizing how fast we're moving through time in Beverly Hills. And so if that's what they had to do, that's what they had to do because it's working.
All right. Let's get into just talking about the women this year, because I'm like, I really have like been thinking about each individual woman and like what they're bringing. And I'm just I don't think we really need to go into Theodora because
no, because we know what happens with me.
You don't want like, and I think that she's so insignificant this season that like, we don't even need to talk about
how bad
she is.
Andre, we're not going to speak about her.
I think the person that I am just shocked at them coming apart the way they are is Kyle. It is. Okay, we've talked about this before. She is clearly a child from an alcoholic family. We obviously know that like their family has addiction issues across the board. It's very obvious. She cannot handle confrontation. I truly believe that LVP was holding her, was like masking what a mess Kyle was. Like LVP was such a strong character. She was kind of masking that, and we didn't see that. And fucking Kyle, you know, by the way, I actually was done with LVP and I'm not missing her at all, but Kyle successfully got rid of LVP. She's now the head bitch, quote unquote, on this show, and she cannot
handle it.
Nope.
But here's the thing. I think you're right. I never saw it like that, how LVP was kind of masking it, because season one, we saw this part of Kyle, but that's because it was before LVP had kind of like put her under her spell. Do you know what I mean? So I'm seeing like remnants of that, where maybe not in like the most vulnerable state, or her being so weak. She was kind of just like bitchier, but we're seeing this more like emotional side, and she's not so even keeled.
She had her sister. And the show kind of like in the beginning, her and her sister were kind of the names on that show that were kind of the draw of that show, was like they were, you know, child actors, and the other people were all pretty much unknowns. But like over time, like LVP became the queen of the show, and Kyle always, they were always mostly on each other's side, although there was like a falling apart with the magazine thing at one point. But now without her, you know, I think Kyle wants everyone to bow down to her and give her respect, but she is coming apart at the seams, and it is kind of great to watch.
I agree, but then part of me too is like, wait a minute, if I were Kyle, I would think the same thing. She's like, I've been here for 10 years. Like, that seniority, it's important.
Yeah, but you to have that seniority and then just like fall apart every episode. And
no, you're right.
She is so weird. Like,
falling apart.
What strong person, when if someone says to you, like, I think it's weird that you guys have this like close relationship, you and Teddy, what strong person would be like, yeah, who fucking cares? Like, this, I think it's such a weird thing that she's crying and freaking out. And when she turned to Erica and
oh my God, and like, you don't have good friends.
And she doesn't really take anything back unless they just didn't show her apologizing to Erica. She's just doubling down. And I think
she was scared. After she said it, she was kind of scared because she just paused and looked at her like, I'm like, what are you going to do? She was scared.
Yeah. And Erica's response was so good. She said, I'm not even going to respond to that because it's so crazy. Like,
and I do have good friends and I consider you one of them.
Ooh. That was such a good retort. But like, I don't know. I think it's funny because I think Kyle probably went into the season thinking like, Denise is going to be the villain and blah, blah, blah. But like, she's really the one who's getting the bad edit this season.
I agree. And especially I'll look at all the polls and stuff like that on Twitter, and Denise always wins by a landslide. And so let's get into baby girl.
Okay. Cause I'm not going to agree with you on this.
Oh my God. I was so afraid. I think I was about to say it to you a few minutes ago, and then I stopped. I was going to say, don't you fucking dare.
Go ahead.
Okay. So here's the thing. Baby girl. So I see where the few people are coming from, where they're like, Denise is kind of dragging it out, or she's being so crazy and she's being hypocritical. I see that side of things, but it's also like, you could be a complete slut and a whorebag when you go back to your kids. Like, that's different. Just don't talk about it in front of them. And she also explained after the episode, she was like, I was also kind of so angry, and like my energy was off when I came into it because I knew they were talking about me and all this stuff had happened. And so that's why she was kind of just like negative and coming for them. What were you going to say?
Well, first of all, I'm going to say I don't dislike Denise Richards, and I actually don't have an issue with her. I get like you don't want to hear people talking like that in front of your kids. Although, if you rewatch that episode, she did say Aaron still has a big dick at that dinner table.
Right.
So I get that. My issue with Denise is actually broader. Like, I think it's great that she's bringing conflict to the show. Blah blah blah. But if you are on a show where the main premise is that rich women get really dressed up and they yell at each other at dinner, then you're going to need to put on something other than a bootcut jean and a hideous top. Like, she is
Andre. So, that's my favorite thing about her. I was just telling my sister.
It is trash.
Andre, I'm not kidding you. I was outside before this and I was like, oh yeah, I'm doing podcast, whatever. And I was like, my favorite thing, Tiff, you would love Denise Richards. She dresses and she doesn't give a fuck. Andre.
He does not give a fuck. That's very clear. But my whole thing is like, if the show is about people fighting, and then every time people are fighting, you go, I don't know what these bitches are fighting about. And then you show up wearing a faded bootcut jean to every dinner party. Like, bitch, hire a stylist. Don't sit in your confessional and say, I'm Denise fucking Richards, and then not hire a stylist to just put together a couple looks for you, baby. Come on.
Okay, but her saying, like, I'm Denise fucking Richards, she's meaning, she's like, I don't have to dress like this. I'm already this person.
And that's fine, but it's what's interesting is she's actually really good for the show in that, that people who watch the show and are like turned off and like, I hate Kyle because she's so opulent and I hate, you know, these stupid bitches, like then they can get on board with Denise, right? But for someone like me who just like loves these tacky, opulent
Dorit outfits.
Yeah, the Dorits and the Ericas. Like, I just live for the ridiculousness of it all, that I don't need some sobering person coming in and saying, I can't believe these people are fighting and I don't care about style. Like, I that is not a turn on to me.
I feel like it's a good balance, but I do see your point, and I obviously do appreciate the opulence. I mean, Dorit walking into the scene in whatever insane, like the look when she walked into Teddy's retreat, I think about it every day. In those sunglasses, like, I agree, it's incredible.
Photos from that she took.
Oh my God, those photos and the one of her against the glass will go down in history. I said this by like season 7 when she first came on, I was like, no, but by season 8, I was like, oh my God, I was like, she's incredible. And it took till people until I think like this year, but I'm like, no, she is incredible.
She's really good. It's interesting. They never talked about the fact that those are actually her leggings from her line. And so for Kyle to just like rip on her, on the fact that she dressed up to work out and she's actually doing it to promote her line. Like, again, another way that Kyle is acting like such a weird person to like, that your fight is
like a petulant. She's kind of being like a petulant child.
She's the youngest. She's a cool
youngest. Well, that, and then it shows something about just the lack of maturity and the lack of growth because of her being stunted because of being a child actress. Maybe that. I don't know, but something's coming out. She's coming undone, and we are coming.
It also makes no sense when she brags about all of her wealth and that huge prop. I mean, her whole storyline of getting robbed and having this huge home and her little like fucking, you know, $200,000 go-kart that she drove to the supermarket last season. Like, it doesn't really make sense that she would even care about an ice sculpture, about getting glam. Like, it doesn't even make sense.
Denise, damn right I had a goddamn ice sculpture. I just love the way she
But again, like,
it's the way she says it.
Sculpture when you're having like a pizza party.
No, it wasn't. And then I do think
it's so weird.
Honestly,
the fact that Kyle went there is actually weirder.
It is also, do you think, and like I said, I love Denise. I think Denise was lying and she was like, actually, Eloise picked it out. And then they flash back and like, it was basically like Denise saying, I thought this would be a nice touch. So I don't know.
For
and like,
pizza party.
And also, like, I don't know that Eloise knows that, like, the diamond is actually because of Beverly Hills Housewife. Like, I was like, Denise, you don't have to do that one. Goddamn, I got a goddamn ice sculpture. She's got this kind of like Midwest accent, but I don't even think she's from there. She's incredible.
Did your jaw drop to the floor when Lisa Rinna said,
oh, I know what you're gonna say.
The hookers.
It was, and I know I've seen this on Twitter, and everyone's thought the same thing, is the exact same energy as, were people doing coke in your bathroom? The same energy.
The most, which to me is one of my all-time favorite moments.
Me too. You can see me kicking my leg.
I have the bag with that on it. Like, I live for Lisa Rinna. She produced this whole episode. She needs a credit on the show.
I agree.
I mean, the whole topic at dinner was such a lead-in to talking about, like, just to confront Denise and get her to, like,
oh, how is it filming a threesome? Like, the whole thing. I'm like, it's so transparent, but it's like, no, she's doing what we have to do. She said it too. She's like, I'm going to be messy. Messy Rinna's back. I don't give a fuck. It is incredible. Almost like, if you look back to the beginning of the season, which, like, we're still pretty early, since the beginning episode and she put that crown on and, like, they had that montage of OEP and all that stuff, like, she's produced it to where we're at now. Like, she is a producer this season, not afraid to get messy. And yet, what she said, what was the exact word? She was like, what'd she say about the hookers?
She said, what do you tell the what do you tell the kids about the hookers?
About the hookers that Charlie brings around. And Denise
she
is like,
said it more than she kept saying, what do you tell them about the hookers?
Oh God, it was so good. And I was just like, my jaw dropped.
Oh my gosh, she's so messy. But I mean, you know, I live for Lisa Rinna. She's my all-time queen.
No, me too. It was just her saying, what's it like filming threesomes? And I was like, oh God. And like, do you think Denise caught that for a second?
Oh, she was totally taken aback, and her reaction in the interview was exactly the way that I would have reacted. Like, how could you do this to me? Question mark.
It was totally her reaction. Wow. No, I'm thrilled. I thought that, like, overall, it was probably one of our weaker episodes this season, but even the weaker episode was still strong.
Yeah, I agree. I think this was a weaker episode, but it's moving. I mean, look, Beverly Hills, they always fight about petty shit, but it's kind of like we said, lifestyles of the rich and famous. And
so I'm okay with it.
Actresses. I kind of wish Garcelle and Denise, I don't need as much of seeing them shoot other TV shows. I find that to be a little bit like, that's not why we hired you for this show.
Right. We want to watch you film this show. Not
Yeah. And in fact, I think it might be a clip. I saw a clip for next week where they like highlight how like Garcelle's like never on the show. She's like constantly filming something else.
Oh, I want to really quickly touch on Garcelle. So like I said this, I think she seems lovely as a person. I don't need her on the show. I don't give a flying fuck about her personal scenes, and she's not interacting with the group enough. And I kind of said this, people are like, how is she full-time and, you know, other people aren't? Here's how it works. When a big name gets hired, basically it's like they sign a contract saying like, you're going to be full-time no matter what. It's not like other girls that test that come in and they're like, oh, we'll make you full-time or we'll make you a friend or you'll not get shown at all. She's like, they're like, no, we're bringing you in. Here's the thing. And so no matter what, she had to remain full-time. If she was anybody else, there's no way they would have kept her full-time.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't really have that much of an opinion of her. Like, I think she's fine. I think it's great that they brought in some diversity because we need it entirely. Totally. But
she's, like, yeah, she's not part of the group.
Me that much, except for the chyron of her friend, where it just said Will Smith's ex.
Oh yeah, that was incredible.
Yeah, no. So I don't know. I'm gonna need more from Garcelle before I like hate or love her.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. She's just void to me.
What are you thinking before we like stop on Beverly Hills? What are you thinking about Erica this season?
Okay, so I think that Erica is in save my ass mode. I think she caught all the flack that she was getting online the past 2 years, especially last year. And she took it full circle by taking us back to dinner at her house with Tom. She's like, Tom, I have to do this to save my job. She's trying to be nice. She's trying to be wittier. It's so forced, but like it's working because it's working on me. Like I'm coming back around to her. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, no. I think she clearly realized that like what she was doing before was not working with the fans and it was not interesting to watch. She's really like engaged this season in a way that I find more interesting. I do think her fashion is really bizarre. Like,
interesting.
What was she wearing?
I was just gonna say that too. Like, I think that she's kind of fallen. Like, now I think it was always this thing between like her and Dorit, and now it's like no questions asked.
Dorit's fashion is so much better. I mean, you still see like she has it in her, like in her testimonials, she's got some interesting looks, but like they're not showing her with the glam squad. They're not showing that much of her as Erica Jane this season.
They might have cut some of that out as far as just editing. And then is somebody knocking on this door? Hello? Not the time. Okay. Okay. I was like, not the time. And then I think that I think they're just not showing a lot of it, but I think just like there's less effort put in. Maybe she was kind of like, listen, I'll give Dorit that crown. I think she thought that was her stick with her like bitchy attitude and like, I'm just this glam girl. And I think she was trying to be like, okay, I'll just lean into like the more relatable thing.
I mean, it seems like she's giving more than zero fucks this season.
Totally more than zero fucks.
I like it. I'm into it. And you know, and we can fire the other blonde, and you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, no, totally. And I think that covers everyone on there, right? We've really analyzed each of them. I like this.
Yeah.
Okay, you ready to move to New York?
I am cautiously ready to move.
All right, but okay. So the last time we spoke, you were starting to see my side. Now, before I even tell you what I was thinking about this episode, you tell me.
I love the housewives. I can
get into it. Hurry it up.
I was taken aback. I was in shock. I could not believe what I was watching this week. I know this show's about like a bunch of crazy drunk women, but the way that Leah conducted herself in this episode to me was borderline unwatchable. It was really difficult. Now, we have to preface this. Like, you and I are both in recovery, right?
And we've all done shit like that. Like, I definitely...
By the way, I don't like my housewife sober. I don't want to see my housewife sober.
Me either.
But watching a 30-something-year-old woman act like a complete and utter... I mean, she was
wild
the fuck out. She was just trying to destroy proper. I mean, it was... I found it really difficult.
No, and it's funny because I think I've said it on here before where I'm like, she, if anything, belongs more on like a Vanderpump Rules, and that just gives another reason. But even on that, they don't do that. Maybe in earlier seasons, we would have seen that from like a Kristen Doty or something. But like, yeah, I've been there too, that level of blackout. And I think it was like she was at that level of blacking out, plus knowing she's on camera, even in a blackout.
I don't think she knew she was even being filmed.
I think maybe going into it, it was unwatchable because it was like, I feel like I was watching mayhem, but yet nothing was happening. And it's just annoying. And I was like, I like dinner parties gone bad when they're like kind of smartly and eloquently verbally sparring, but not gone bad where this girl's like being it was just like bizarre. It was annoying. And it was just like, it was chaotic. And it was like lots of like noise and it gave me a headache.
Yeah, I think like earlier in the season when they went to the Hamptons and got blackout and they were naked in the pool and throwing shit, because they were at Ramona's house, it was like this contained chaos and I found it, and there was more than like, there was a few of them and there was something really fun about it. This week, I just didn't even find fun. I mean, I think also part of it is like, I think that the fact that her storyline is that she didn't drink for 9 years, which means she clearly knew she had an issue with drinking.
Yeah.
And now she's in such denial, and without like going into detail about like program and like everyone can do whatever the hell they want, she is like saying everything that people say when they're in denial about their alcoholism.
I think it was an episode or two ago when she was like, yeah, like I don't think alcohol, you know, that's a choice, and like it didn't ruin my life like I did, or I forget what she said. It was like 2 weeks ago.
She was saying that, you know, I was told for all these years that just, you know, one drink is going to kill me, which is a stretch of like what that actually means. It means like the first drink will kill you, because the first drink gets you moving in the direction of all the chaos that will ensue after, right?
Exactly. That first drink leads me to
And she had, you know, the other like former sober person, Luann, being like, yes, I mean, you know, I'm in control of my life, which is another perversion of like, her sobriety, you know?
And what's so funny is like, I actually happen to not think Luann's an alcoholic, but I definitely think Leah is. And I'm like, yeah, this is just such a bad representation of like recovery from alcoholism. And so as people in recovery, I'm like, oh, that's tough to watch. And then to watch her in denial, and it's like, well, this is clearly why I didn't drink, like you're one of these drunks. And again, we can relate because we've been there, but like I don't want to watch that. And then all of the other women just seemed annoyed. It's not like they're all having fun. It was just kind of like, I was like, wait, actually, it's almost like a child that was being obstructive when like I'm trying to pay attention to a conversation, and I'm like, wait, Leah, stop talking for a second, stop making noise, I'm trying to listen to what they're saying.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I was like, just stop. Like, you're being annoying. Stop.
It was crazy. And because Leah is not a funny character, she's not, you know, like there's something about Sonia, who is such clearly has an issue with alcohol.
Thank you for saying
that. Who I'm not loving this season, but there's something where they can be funny at times. And so you like forgive it a little bit. Leah did nothing funny this week. Like, there was nothing funny about the way she was acting. It was just crazy.
Thank you for saying that, because I said this to Ryan Bailey a few weeks ago. I was explaining to her, I think he was saying like, I think we've all spoken about how she's not meant to be a replacement for Bethany, but obviously Bethany's gone, so people are trying to look at it like that and whatever. And I was like, one of the biggest things lacking is like, and this isn't, doesn't mean she's bad, doesn't mean she's, I was like, she's just not a funny person. Some people aren't. And so her trying to be funny in her confessionals or whatever, like whatever, like, I think she seems cool. I think she seems like a bad bitch, whatever. I was like, but she's just not a funny person. Some people are not. And like, you're right. So to see her like, I don't know.
Then ultimately where it like leaves us is like Ramona, who is a monster, and I need her to be acting like a monster.
Me too.
Reason. And like, that's not really funny either, because it's just, there's nothing fun about that. Like when Bethany was the voice of reason, it gave Ramona the ability to act like a hilarious monster. And now it's like Ramona's reining it in. Like, that's no fun.
And it made us look at Ramona crazier, because we were looking at Ramona through Bethany's eyes. And you're right. And so now that Ramona has to play this new role, it's actually making Ramona more likable as a person. But it's taking away from the monster character that I like watching more. And I'm like, I don't.
We're getting less of Ramona, and we're getting less of Ramona like saying and doing really ridiculous things because she's like just spending her whole time babysitting.
And Bethany being like, oh Christ, the two of you, stop! You're a fucking grown woman. Blah blah blah. Like I missed that happening, and Ramona would be like, well, I am what I am. And like, yeah, when I saw Ramona at the dinner that night, I was like, Ramona's this like kind of like elevated, behaved woman being like, stop, I have get. Like, and I was like, that's not the side of Ramona I want to see.
But also, like, the second that you've got, like, you and me saying, you guys need to sober up, then you know that.
Like, that's what I had even, and again, I guess maybe I was foreshadowing or just ahead of the curve when I had seen that in the Hamptons, but that's what I meant. And because I said that before then, even before this aired, I remember I was texting with our friend Kyle, and I was like, oh my God, I can't wait to see them drunk and blackout. Like, I love that about New York. And it's like, this is not what I meant.
No, I am such a huge New York fan, but this season just has no direction. It's kind of...
I'm waiting for it. Just tell me.
I just don't love it as much.
No, tell me.
I was texting you and I was like talking to you about this and you go, just tell me I was right.
That's what I was waiting for you to say right now. Just tell me I was right. I was
right. You were right.
Ah, I love it. Turns me on. That is my love language. Tell me I'm fucking right.
You know, I never agree with you when it comes to whenever you get down on like the Housewives, because I'm just really optimistic about these shows. I love them. They take me away from like the chaos of the world, you know, especially like right now we like have needed it through like the pandemic and just every other terrible thing going on. I need it. And I'm going to need New York to give me some more fun. Like I can't, I will say though, the line from next week where it's Leah, Luann goes, I mean, she threw a ravioli. I'm hoping it redeems it, but yeah, Leah. And by the way, have you been watching the social media?
Like, yes, I keep close. I'm on Twitter very, very closely.
But like the other night, on the night that it aired, I guess Ramona and Avery were on IG just like talking shit about how terrible and disgusting the women were, and Leah fully came for Avery.
I saw that too, which I actually hate.
And Leah's sister, I guess, sent a message to Ramona and said, you pooped your pants.
I saw that too. It's like you defecated on the floor.
Wow.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. Like I said, I'm so glad you think I'm right. I think that like there's just has no direction. And a lot of people are saying this on Twitter. Like, it's not just me. People are like, what's happening? And I'm New York's biggest fan. I was just raving about season 8 and 7 with somebody outside. And like I go back and watch it all the time. It's just, listen, this just ain't it. It's just not it.
I mean, I will say like seasons 3 through 11 were amazing.
Cause incredible.
I watched every vacation, and other than Montana, they were all perfection. Uh-huh. And this season so far is probably a low. Like I will say the Cindy Barshop season was probably a previous low. Although that trip to Morocco was amazing, but like overall that season was kind of a low. I'm feeling like we're there again. And I think it's like this post Bethany slump, and it might take a season or two to get the magic back, but
the end of the day,
Ramona, Sonia, Luann, and even Dorinda, and I love Tinsley. Like I have faith in them. I think we can come back from this.
I agree. I think they're all stars. And I love that you just said, like, we had that season 4 post Bethany slump. They're trying to find their footing. And I think next season we will return. And I hope that they return with Jill Zarin. I realize I want her back. I think that we need her.
I think she comes back this season, like, briefly. But yeah, I don't know. Like, I'm going to have to make one last ditch effort to the people who cast these shows. You guys need to get your heads out of your asses. We cannot cast someone like Elise or Barbara. I mean, some of these friends or people that they bring in are dreadful, and we cannot be doing this anymore.
Elise is the creepiest ghost character in the corner of the scenes. I forgot. Finally, she said something at the end of this episode. I was like, did her Ambien just wear off? I was like, what the fuck? It's bizarre.
So boring. You're telling me there's no other interesting people in the city of New York?
No, it's truly these casting people are losers.
The best city in the world. There's no one else.
Wait.
I can't. Anyways, I just had to get that out because...
No, you're breaking up a bit.
Elise is a sad sack of a... Okay.
No, she's a sad sack of a human. We did pick that up. She's a sad sack of a human. I can't handle it. I don't know why. All right. I don't know why it all of a sudden started breaking up, but this is, I guess, a good time to wrap up since your internet is ghetto. I didn't know that Cricket Wireless. I didn't know that Cricket Wireless offered internet service as well, Andre.
Wow. All right. Wow.
All right. Thank
you. Jeff, I love this. Thank you for having me. I'm so sorry.
Don't be sorry at all. No, thank you so much for coming on. I'm so sorry that your internet is ghetto.
You're the best. You're right. You are right.
Thank you. Thank you. That's all I need to know. All right, Andre, we will chat soon. It's so much better.